Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 81 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
You know, the steel industry is slowly climbing and the auto industry in itself. And if it continues, that'll give us a better insight when we go to the table in early 15.
United Steelworkers Local 1865 President Mike Hewlett says the union and AK Steel have ratified a new 18-month contract. He likes the agreement going forward. Kentucky's aviation industry lobbies for a new airport in northern Kentucky, and Moorhead's mayor says it won't be easy to fix problems with the city's sewer and stormwater system. In sports, the Reds are home for the surging Diamondbacks tonight. Bud Luke has a look at the stocks. Partly cloudy this evening with dense fog developing, low in the 60s. The complete forecast is coming up right after this news. AK Steel and the United Steelworkers Union have ratified a new labor agreement covering more than 800 hourly employees at the company's Ashland Mill. Local 1865 President Mike Hewlett says the contract is for 18 months and provides a pay increase for production and maintenance workers beginning next month.
So they get a 50-cent raise during that 18 months starting in September, and then they get a $2,000 signing bonus. And we had a lot of good language changes that we need. If finances are in such condition, a lot of times when you negotiate, you can get some money, but it's time to get some good language change if you've got some problems in your contract.
Hewlett says the new pact expedites the processing of union grievances. It takes effect September 1st and expires March 1st, 2015. AK President James Wainscott calls the accord mutually beneficial for the company and the union. The Commonwealth's senior senator wants the federal EPA to permit Kentucky environmental officials to be given authority over the cleanup of AK Steel's former coke plant in Ashland. Republican Mitch McConnell says no other business can use the site until environmental remediation is completed.
And so what I'm intervening with EPA and imploring them to do is shift the responsibility for that down to the state level in the hopes that we can get it done quicker. And the quicker we get that done, the quicker it can be a site for some new company coming in.
The coke plant was closed in 2011 because AK said it would be too expensive to bring it into compliance with federal clean air laws. The EPA said the mill had not met clean air standards for 3 years. Explosives were used to implode the plant Sunday morning. An Ironton woman who turned out Sunday to watch the destruction of AK Steel's former coke plant is hoping the action paves the way for a new manufacturer to locate on the site. Kelly Runyon told WSAZ the local environment should be in better shape, too.
It's going to be a lot cleaner because it was so black on the side of the roads and stuff, and it was kind of stinky. As long as they put something else up that, you know, will bring a lot more jobs because, I mean, we don't have any jobs around here, so, I mean, that really was bad, but as long as they, you know, build something that's going to bring more jobs, that'd be great.
The Huntington TV station says the raising of the Ashland Coke Mill took only about 15 seconds. The redistricting plan being proposed by House Democrats would force incumbent Republicans in the state legislature to run against each other in two districts. It's far different than the proposal made earlier this year that would have compelled contested primaries for 11 Republican incumbents. That map was declared unconstitutional following a court challenge. The high court found it split too many counties. House Speaker Greg Stumbo was blunt in addressing the distinctions between the two plans during a press conference Friday.
After the court's ruling last year, it becomes more difficult to gerrymander districts.
Stumbo jokes he's getting kinder and gentler in his old age. State Representative John Will Stacy of West Liberty says he doesn't know if he'll be challenged for a new legislative district that would be created if the redistricting plan proposed by House Democrats is approved by the General Assembly. The district would include Morgan, Wolf, and Johnson counties and would pit the Democrat against House Transportation Committee Chairman Hubert Collins of Wittensville. Collins is also a Democrat. Stacy talked about the plan with Inside Cable's Pure Politics. He says he's not sure if Johnson will enter the primary next year, but is confident of victory regardless.
I don't think there's any combination of counties that you can't put Morgan County with that I can't win in.
The Kentucky General Assembly begins consideration of new district boundaries in its session that began today. And while admitting there's pressure in having to work on new district boundary lines, with federal judges looking over legislators' shoulders during the current session, a House member from Northeast Kentucky says that's not necessarily a bad thing. State Representative Jill York of Grayson hopes that threat will force lawmakers from the House and Senate to act in the best interests of Kentuckians.
Sure, it's a kind of a harsh threat, but you know, if it gets us some mats that truly serve the citizenry and are to the most point based in better services and better governance rather than political leanings, that may be what we need.
The Kentucky Supreme Court rejected the last two sets of district maps drawn up by the House and Senate. A panel of three federal judges will redraw them for legislators if their next set of maps do not fairly meet population guidelines. Kentucky's aviation industry is looking for some tax relief. Airport representatives came to Frankfort today for National Aviation Day. Rob Barnett is president of the Kentucky Aviation Association. He says Kentucky's aviation industry lags behind its neighbors and needs state assistance.
We have surrounding states that border Kentucky that have a more attractive aviation incentive program, such as lower taxes, lower fuel taxes, things like that. And we want to bring the state of Kentucky into light and competitive, if you will, with our surrounding states.
As far as capital improvements, Barnett claims a new facility is needed in northern Kentucky. Among other things, Barnett says it could help handle demands related to the NASCAR racetrack in Sparta. Kentucky's lieutenant governor says the Tax Reform Commission he chaired last year concluded that the Commonwealth should begin taxing some services. Jerry Abramson says most states now do. The Democrat discussed the issue on Inside Cable's Pure Politics.
In our Blue Ribbon Commission, what we decided to do was to focus on the luxury items. We looked at those 28 or 30 states that have sales tax on services, and we found that most of them started with luxury items. So if you're going to have a country club dues, we think you ought to put sales tax on.
Sales tax receipts declined by $31 million in Kentucky in the last fiscal year compared to 2012. The city of Moorhead needs to start figuring out what to do about what's becoming a critical problem, so says Mayor David Perkins. Perkins says the town's storm sewer system is antiquated and overflows badly during heavy rains. He adds that a key issue with upgrading the system is finding out where the major problems are, since very little mapping of the storm sewer system has been done. Another problem, he says, is finding the over $1 million it'll take to do that project. With federal and state and governments dealing with their own financial problems, Perkins says the city should not count on those two entities to help it fund the needed repairs to its storm sewer system. A Johnson County woman was arraigned today on aggravated DUI charges in connection with a fatal crash Friday evening. WSAZ reports 53-year-old Myra Castle of Wittensville appeared in Johnson County District Court. She was arrested after her vehicle was involved in a head-on collision with a motorcycle on Kentucky 201 in Johnson County. The accident claimed the life of 18-year-old C.J. Mollett of Flat Gap. Castle is being held in the Big Sandy Detention Center on $50,000 bond. Kentucky State Police are investigating the shooting death of a Breathitt County man over the weekend. Dead is 46-year-old Tommy Lee Smith of Buckhorn. He was found in his trailer Saturday morning with a gunshot wound to the head. Pamela Johnson is a family friend. She spoke with WYMT.
All I know is just heartless. So heartless how somebody can do anybody the way he was done. Whoever it is, I hope they realize what it feels like to walk in and find your family or your friend done that way.
State police say they have not located the murder weapon and have no suspects at this time. Well, the murder of Mingo County, West Virginia Sheriff Eugene Crum may have been related to a sexual assault probe that occurred more than a decade ago. MSPR's Arlo Barnett has that story.
The Sunday Gazette Mail reports that a decade-old sexual assault investigation from Mingo County Sheriff Eugene Crum may strengthen the defense for Tennis Maynard, the man charged with Crum's killing. This information comes from Maynard's attorney in an interview with the newspaper. The investigation in question took place in 2001, when Crum was accused of sexually assaulting a 19-year-old woman. He was Dilberton's police chief at the time. Crum was never charged after state police determined that the sex was consensual. However, Maynard's attorney says that these allegations support the general nature of the defense in the current murder case. Sheriff Eugene Crum was shot and killed earlier this year. Reporting for MSPR News, this is Arlo Barnett.
Federal data shows nearly 6,900 firearms were reported stolen or lost in Ohio last year, ranking it sixth among states with the most missing guns. 78 firearms were reported lost. The others were said to be stolen. The Dayton Daily News reports that's concerning for residents and law enforcement because some of those weapons are used in homicides and other crimes. At least 190,000 firearms were reported lost or stolen in the U.S. last year. The numbers are incomplete because not all owners report missing guns, and law enforcement agencies are not required to report gun thefts to a national database. The Lawrence Street Bridge in Ironton could be reopened to traffic as early as September 2nd. The structure has been closed since early June, so it can be given a new deck and a higher elevation. Kathleen Fuller is with the Ohio Department of Transportation.
It is located in a flood-prone area, so one of the things we're doing in addition to having the contractors replace the structure is that they are elevating it to some degree so that it helps to raise it up out of the floodplain area. So this is replacing the existing structure with a single-span pre-stressed concrete box beam bridge and also reconstructing the approaches and, again, to elevate the structure.
Fuller says the work cost more than $900,000. And finally this afternoon, it's only August, but Community Action Kentucky says it's not too early to be thinking about weatherizing your home. Wallace Rose is director of the program for low-income families in Bath, Menifee, Morgan, Montgomery, and Rowan counties. He says weatherizing your home makes it more energy efficient and lowers the monthly utility bill.
The main thing we're going to look for in weatherization is the home's insulation needs, and also looking at air infiltration. It'll make the home certainly warmer in the winter and cooler in the summer.
Rose says there's usually a six-month waiting period for weatherization, but that's not the case right now for the Gateway area. He says the program is free for families who qualify. And here's the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the cities of Flemingsburg, Mount Sterling, Owingsville, and Moorhead. Tonight, partly cloudy, patchy, dense fog developing towards dawn, low in the mid-60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy, highs in the lower 80s. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with isolated showers, lows in the mid-60s. Currently, in Ashland, it is 80 degrees. It is 79 in Flemingsburg, 81 in Winchester, 76 in Lexington, 81 in Inez, and it is 81 degrees on the campus of Moorhead State University. It is 4:44. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, Kentucky lawmakers have 1 week to hammer out new boundaries for House and Senate districts, or a court will do it for them. KPR's Jonathan Meader reports on the General Assembly's special session that began today.
The General Assembly needs new maps for the House and Senate, and so far, three plans have been introduced. Republican House Floor Leader Jeff Hoover released his latest plan for his chamber earlier this month, and he says it's less political than those introduced in years past. It isn't clearly meant to give one party an edge in elections through gerrymandering. The Hoover plan draws an equal number of incumbents from each party into races against each other. Previous Democratic plans pitted more Republicans against each other. Hoover claims his map will save taxpayers roughly $1.5 million compared to the most recent map passed last year by House Democrats. Democratic House Speaker Greg Stumbo says the cost savings of Hoover's proposal are a red herring. While Stumbo hasn't read Hoover's plan, he says he wouldn't support it even if he did.
The map that we're working on, I think, will have a bipartisan support. We've been working with several Republicans and Democrats. I've asked Representative Hoover on more than one occasion to give me some information about and participate. He's refused to, so I don't care to look at his map.
Stumbo says Hoover's plan is a political ploy that doesn't have a chance in the House. He's released his own plan.
We don't dilute the minority-majority districts' influences. We don't split more than the bare minimum number of counties under the Kentucky constitutional issue, and we stay within the 5% deviation, and I don't know of any reason why the court would have to overturn that plan.
In the Senate, the Republican president of that chamber, Robert Stivers, unveiled a proposal last week that wouldn't put any Senate incumbents against each other.
We believe that this is something that will be passed quickly and then be defensible in federal court where there is current litigation. And if there is ever a state court action filed, it will be defensible in state court.
The Senate map that passed the General Assembly last year was not so defensible. Senator Kathy Stein, a Lexington Democrat, was drawn out of her district in the last round of maps, and she joined Republicans in the lawsuit challenging them last year. She says that Stiver's plan looks promising.
From what I have seen, I'm very pleased with it. And I really wish that this plan had been the one that was used 2 years ago.
Of the 38 Senate districts, Stivers said only one, Senator Dorsey Ridley's District 4, will exceed the accepted population change deviation of 5%, but he is confident that it will be acceptable due to the map's other strengths. William Sharp, an attorney for the ACLU of Kentucky, is suing the state on behalf of voters who say they are disenfranchised by outdated districts. He hasn't commented on any specific plans, but he wants to see something passed that can withstand legal challenges.
If they continue to fail in complying with that basic constitutional obligation, I am confident that the federal court is up to the task of drawing new legislative maps.
If the matter does go to the court, it'll see a 3-judge panel in which 2 judges were appointed by Republican presidents. Republicans have bucked against rumors that GOP leadership is counting on this panel to hand down a ruling that would favor the Republicans' plan, calling that pure speculation. But they're hopeful that both parties can successfully compromise in the next 5 days in order to keep the cost to taxpayers at a minimum. And as with all things, time equals money. Each day of the special session costs $60,000. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Jonathan Meter.
It is 4:48. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock and Chase has sports in just a moment.
Support for MSPR comes from the MSU Innovation and Commercialization Center. The ICC provides assistance for technology and innovation-based businesses in East Kentucky, with offices at Morehead State University and a satellite office at Ashland Community and Technical College. The ICC also provides help to startup businesses by assisting with venture and angel capital, patents, market assessment, fundraising, and more. Additional information at 606-783-9536 and online at kyinnovation.com.
A key wild card battle starts tonight in Cincinnati. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chase Scott. The Cincinnati Reds are oh so close to the top spot in the NL Central, that is. After splitting a 4-game road series with the Milwaukee Brewers this past weekend, the Reds now find themselves 1.5 games back of the Cardinals for second place, while only trailing the Pirates by 2.5 games. The Reds picked up a W yesterday over the Brew Crew by a score of 9-1 behind a stellar pitching performance by Homer Bailey. Bailey threw 8 innings while only allowing 3 hits and 1 earned run. With the win, Bailey moved his record to 8-10, and Dusty Baker says Bailey was simply on fire.
He was throwing the ball great. He had a very good slider. Fastball is always good, and he was strong, you know, even when we took him out. So it was good to get him to 8-10, and hopefully we can get him to 10-10 soon. But main thing, you know, we had a pretty good road trip, you know, 5-2. You think about different things that happened during the road trip, but, you know, we'll be happy with what we got.
The Reds will be back at Great American Ballpark tonight as they welcome in the Arizona Diamondbacks for 4 games. First pitch is scheduled for 7:10. It's been a slightly rough first half of August for the Lexington Legends as they have compiled a 7-10 record, but look to turn that around tonight as they square off with the Greenville Drive on the road. The Legends will try to improve on their 31-25 record with Miguel Amonte on the hill tonight. He will carry his 4-8 record against the Drive, who has yet to announce a starting pitcher. Game time is set for 7:05. The man battling newly named number one Logan Johnson for the quarterback's job for the Morehead State football team says he'll just keep working hard. Redshirt junior Boone Goldsmith says his key when he gets his chance behind center is to simply produce, and he believes MSU's offensive style will give him that opportunity.
We're a very quarterback-oriented offense. You know, Zach threw 40 times a game or something last year, and it's a very, very intricate part of the offense. So if we don't have a good quarterback, it's going to be hard for us to have a good offense. And that is some pressure. But playing quarterback, usually you want pressure, and you want to be able to throw the ball. And that's one thing you get here.
Goldsmith was Zach Lewis's backup for the past 2 seasons. In limited action, the ex-Boyle County star completed 43 of 67 passes for 730 yards and 6 touchdowns. Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops is remaining coy about his team's competition at quarterback. Sophomores Jalen Whitlow, Max Smith, and Patrick Toles are battling to be the Cats' number one at that position. Stoops said after this past Saturday's scrimmage that their efforts in the scrimmage will help make a final decision about the job.
But also all the work that went into the spring and all through the 2 days so far will also go into consideration.
Stoops says he's not keeping his decision under wraps in order to make it tougher for Western Kentucky, who UK opens with in 12 days to prepare for the Wildcats. It was another impressive night Saturday for the Cincinnati Bengals offense as they mauled the Titans by a score of 27-19. The Bengals were led by rookie running back Giovanni Bernard, who continues to impress. He got the start over Ben Jarvis Green Ellis and carried the ball 7 times for 37 yards and a touchdown. Coach Marvin Lewis was proud of the effort by Bernard and the offense, but he's still hungry for more.
We had some things obviously to correct, but we had a lot of positives, had some stops on defense. We were able to move the football on offense after the turnover, that being probably the biggest negative of the offensive day there. But, you know, I think all in all, you know, we got some things done that we look forward to getting done, and you know, I think it was a successful week, too, and now we move into the third week.
And that third week will consist of more preseason practices as they prepare now for their matchup with the Cowboys in Dallas on Saturday night. While saying he's looking to fill an entry-level type position on his staff, Morehead State women's basketball coach Tom Hodges admits finding a good assistant this late in the summer isn't an easy task. Hodges, though, is confident he'll get the job done, and quickly.
We certainly have already done some interviews and feel good about where we're at. As with anything, the process and the human resources side of it, you have to be very diligent in that and making sure everything checks out and your I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. So we're certainly hoping to have someone in place by September 1.
Lacey Goldwire recently left Hodges' staff for a job at Iowa. The head coach will be working with an entirely new staff during the upcoming season. And finally, Morehead State soccer coach Warren Lipka was generally satisfied with his team's work during Sunday's 1-1 exhibition tie against Western Kentucky at Jane Stadium. It was Lipka's one and only real look at the Eagles before they start the regular season later on this week.
I got to see a lot of things that we've been working on. I thought we shored up the back a lot better, like you said, after the first 10 minutes. I thought after the first half, the second half, we created a lot more and getting behind players. You know, so it was a good showing. We got a lot of good film to be able to review.
The Morehead State soccer team's regular season kicks off on Friday in Columbus as the Eagles tangle with defending Big Ten tournament champion Ohio State. That's a wrap for sports. Have a wonderful evening. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Chase Scott.
The R comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle football kicks off its 2013 season by hosting Pikeville at Janes Stadium on Thursday, August 29th. Game time is 7 p.m. More information on single game or season tickets is available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks ended down for a fourth straight day, and bonds were the real story as yields continue to creep higher amid chatter that the Federal Reserve could begin winding down its stimulus program sooner rather than later, and worries that the central bank could taper its $85 billion a month in bond purchases or quantitative easing as early as September has spurred a huge sell-off in bonds, and investors have yanked nearly $20 billion from bond mutual funds and exchange-traded funds so far in August. That's the fourth highest pullback ever, according to TrimTabs. And in June, investors took out $69.1 billion, which is the highest on record, and the sell-off in the bond market today pushed the yield on the 10-year Treasury to 2.88%. And the Dow Industrials finished with a loss of 70.73 at 15,010.74. The S&P 500 was down 9.77 at 1646.06. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 13.69 at 3589.09. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 24-5 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Gold was down 0.4% and oil was down 0.6%. And the Fed will remain in focus this week as investors look ahead to Wednesday. That's when the Fed releases minutes from its last monetary policy meeting. And the Kansas City Fed also hosts its annual conference in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, later this week. And in individual company news, shares of Chesapeake Energy initially rose following news that Carl Icahn boosted his stake in the natural gas company to almost 10%. But the stock had headed lower by the end of the day, and Apple, which Icahn announced a large position in last week, continued to climb, hitting the highest level in 7 months. In overseas markets, the European markets actually closed slightly lower today, while Asian markets ended with mixed results. Both the Shanghai Composite and Japan's Nikkei rose nearly 1%. Stocks in Hong Kong declined by 0.3%, and investors are also obviously nervously watching India, where stocks have plunged lately as the country's rupee currency hit an all-time low. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down $2.25 at $85.92, CSX down 27 cents at $24.89, AEP down 63 cents at $42.68, AK Steel down 17 cents at $3.40, Marathon Petroleum down 53 cents at $69.05, and Kroger was down 31 cents to finish at $37.94. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting an exhibition of original artwork by David Lucas on display through October 11th. The exhibition features more than 80 paintings and drawings by the Letcher County artist. Landscapes, portraits, and scenes of daily life in eastern Kentucky are on display. Located on First Street in Morehead and open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Art Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University.
And recapping the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Carter, Morgan, and Mason, tonight, partly cloudy with patchy dense fog developing. Towards dawn, low in the mid-60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with highs in the lower 80s. Currently in Morehead, it is 81 degrees. And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Moraz, Mike Williams, Chase Scott, Joshua Grandison, Caleb Noe, and Arlo Barnett. From Kentucky Public Radio, Jonathan Meter. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Dan Translator, W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.